Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Can't even talk about half the stuff we talk about in between the time that we're on the air, but that's okay.
It is okay.
It's Cleveland Good. Browns Daily.
We like our jobs.
Driven by Liberty. What's it? Yeah, Driven by Liberty Ford.
That's right.
Still is.
And plenty of great F-150s here. There, I'm sure.
We are going to do a bunch of things besides talk with you at 216-578-0850, and you tweet us at Browns_daily. We've got all that going on. And by the way, Brown season is finally here, and let's paint the town
yes!
Browns
Do
each
it.
And every Friday this season. Wear your favorite Browns gear and decorate your work or school on Fridays throughout the season. Then send us your photos using the hashtag WeAreCleveland. It's a big deal. You want to get
it
on
is.
Board with that. Let's go to Frank in Cleveland with us now. Hey, Frank.
Hello.
What's up, Frank?
Hey, I have a question that leads towards fantasy and with the Browns.
Okay.
I heard you guys talking about the Browns' defensive line.
Yep.
Which will put a tremendous rush on Miami. But my question is, I do have Mike Wallace going this week. Do you think Joe Hayden will be on him? I also have T.Y.
Be on him, he'll shut him down. No catches.
I think he will be on him. Listen, Mike Wallace, 6 catches for 77 yards combined in his last 3 meetings with the Cleveland Browns and Joe Hayden. Obviously a little bit of a downgrade at quarterback from Ben Roethlisberger to Ryan Tannehill, as much as I like him. But I think that Wallace, if you have another good option, go for it. Keep in mind, who do you have?
T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, no question. T.Y. Hilton is a budding superstar matchup with the Oakland Raiders. They should feast on the Raiders. So, yeah, T.Y. Hilton over Mike Wallace. Plus, you don't want to be rooting for Mike Wallace when you're watching the Browns.
That's the problem with fantasy, especially in this
realm. There's no
problems
with fantasy.
No, this part. That's the problem. If you have a rooting interest in a team, you should stick with that. Be pure to the football.
You can be pure for the football, but the way that you would justify it in a fantasy situation is that you hope the Browns beat them so badly that in the fourth quarter, Mike Wallace picks up some garbage yards.
But that's not the way, I get the mindset here. It's two different mindsets. That's the flaw. That's the flaw in it. If you root for your team, root for your team. And if you're going to do the fantasy thing, keep it away from your team. And they root for this team, the Browns.
That's why they've been turning to fantasy football for the last few years, Vic.
Well, right. We got to get them back. Fair point. Fair point. 216-578-0850 to join us and at Browns_daily. I want to talk also about the fact that, this team, how important this game is Sunday with, the tone setting aspect of it all. We've gotten through talking about how young the team is and how young the roster is overall and what implications there might be there, but it doesn't change the idea of how this game is going to be perceived and how it's going to be viewed, not just here, especially here, but nationally. The Browns are getting some national love. The Browns are getting some people who are
some
looking
hype.
Yes,
who
believe that they're headed in the right direction, who like all the reasons that we've gone over a million times about coaching staff and other things that give it that sense of, hey, they look pretty good. I spent some time in Western New York State over the weekend and got the same kind of feedback, like, hey, they look pretty good in this preseason. Brandon Whedon wasn't too bad, and on and on. And I didn't hear those comments before, but, again, I want to be the perspective guy, the reality guy, and say, yeah, but let's see what happens on September 8th. And it's going to tell us a lot. It won't tell us everything, but it'll tell us a lot.
It certainly will. And listen, it's about a new era to many people. It is about the belief that things are going to change. And when the Cleveland Browns have lost the season opener in 8 straight seasons and 13 of the last 14 years, a win on opening day would be a signal of change. It would be something that fans can really sink their teeth into about this team changing. So, yes, it is a very important game. I think that the team is doing a good job of keeping perspective that it is only one game in reality out of 16. But I think for what it means and for the symbolic nature of it, there maybe hasn't been a bigger season opener that the Browns have played, since coming back. I think that this is a very important one, and you know you have to go on the road to face 2 teams that went to the playoffs last year, including the defending Super Bowl champion. So it is an important game, and it's a winnable game. And I think for the Browns to start getting to the place they want to be, you need to instill the mindset that you can win your winnable games and that you take care of business when you should.
Let's get into looking at some of the other divisions.
Let's do
the
it.
NFL.
Let's do some
Let's
previous.
Do that. We'll break it down over the course of this remaining hour of the show, looking at the rest of the league and how things are shaping up throughout the rest of the NFL. All right, let's start with the AFC East. Who is your prediction there to win the division, and then break it down for me?
This is the easiest one for me. I think the New England Patriots win this division going away. I don't think there's any competition for them in this division. I think that they're going to finish first. Miami Dolphins will finish second. The Buffalo Bills will finish third, and the Jets will finish fourth. I think the Patriots are the only viable playoff team in this division. The Dolphins would be maybe have an outside chance, but I think the Patriots are the only team making the playoffs from the AFC East this year.
I'm with you on that. I think for all their woes, all their problems,
they're just good.
They're just good because they got that guy. They got that number 12 there.
Yeah.
And I think having Tom Brady will cover some of the sins of the, literally, some of the sins that caused this team to be depleted, and then the injuries that go along with that. And Rob Gronkowski's status matters.
He's
don't
coming
know.
Back.
He's going to come back,
soon.
But when is he coming back is the key.
Now it's looking like week three at the latest.
You know, back surgery, multiple arm surgeries, and what do you get when you get with him? How much? Because he's the one thing I know about the guy, and I've known the guy since he was like in seventh or eighth grade, because he hung out, you know, in our neighborhood and went to school with one of my kids. I know that he will just be all out. He won't, if he's on the field and he's in uniform, he's playing full to the max, throw his body everywhere around, and it's that style of play that will get you hurt again. And I worry that he's not going to finish the year, that he'll come back in week three and maybe in a couple of weeks he'll be gone again. But Patriots at the top of the division. I'm with you that the Dolphins are second. They're interesting. The Dolphins, I'm curious, and it's hard to get a full handle on what they're about when you study a team off the preseason and a team that's gone through the makeover they have, when two among their key players are newcomers, Mike Wallace and Danelle Ellerbe, and exactly how they fit and how this will work with Wallace and Tannehill, how it works with Ellerbe and the rest of this defense. It'll be interesting. But maybe if Danny Amendola isn't everything he needs to be and he isn't healthy for Tom Brady, that could be the crack, the opening. But I like a lot
Not
of
yet.
What I don't think so either. I mean, I think the Pats should be comfortable. Then Dolphins. And, yeah, Buffalo, E.J. Manuel, he's going to practice tomorrow. He practiced Monday. The indications are that he's likely to start the season. And E.J. Manuel looks like he could be a difference maker, but not this year. Not this year. They got a lot of speed, too.
It's a pretty tough start out of the gate for him, too, by the way, missing the majority of the preseason and going against Bill Belichick, who's had weeks to game plan for him. Yeah, that's a tough one.
And the Jets, just
terrible.
Just terrible. Just a train wreck.
Rex Ryan will be fired at the end of this year.
If he makes it. I was going to say, does he make it through the season?
He will not be the head coach of the New York Jets in 2014. We'll go with that.
All right, so we're pretty much in agreement. Did we say there was a wild card out of the AFC East?
No.
Okay, you didn't, and I'm going to – right now I say no. I can't picture
That's
Miami
why it's
going
to get interesting
enough.
For yeah. people to start getting
but,
excited about
but
the
But I could change.
You could change. We'll see.
I could change my mind on that. By the way, we got an update on the kicking situation for the Browns. I just want to check this little bit of an update coming in here. And what I understand is that things are on hold with the kicking situation right now. Should not be resolved until after we get off the air, unfortunately. We'll try to break the news if we can during the show. That's us talking here. But we'll keep reminding the people who are kind of running things around here, but are very helpful to us.
Yes,
so we communicate as they go on. So we're told right now it doesn't look like, what do we got, like 46 minutes left in the show to get this resolved. I want them to hurry it up because I want us to announce it.
Yeah,
on the
I want
show.
To break it on CBD.
Right. How about let's go to our phones, 216-578-0850. Mike and Maslin is on hold. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What's going
what
on,
got,
Mike?
Buddy?
Well, the caller or the screen caller told me that you could possibly give me this fact. I wanted to know what Brandon Weeden's quarterback rating would have been if you would have thrown out that clunker Philly game at the beginning of the year.
Last year?
That I'm not going to be able to tell you right off of the top.
Well,
but I could tell you. Go ahead.
Realizing that he was a five?
It was not good.
Well, it was
eight
about a five.
It was pretty bad. Yeah, it was five,
thinking.
Something like that. It was single.
that would have more than likely bumped his rating over Andrew Luck, even though Andrew Luck had.
But you don't get to do that.
Andrew Luck had some clunkers too.
Why do we say? Well, let's just throw out the worst game. Well, you know, we say that because if you want to skew the stats to look better for the guy, but that was part of his rookie season. The clunker that he had and what he did or didn't do in that game to play that position matters. And you can't just we don't just have the luxury of throwing that out.
Well, I understand that completely, but I mean I just wondered how much of a better rating he would have had.
Who care do you why does it matter though, Mike? At the end of the day, he had a horrible opener. They should have won the game. He even as bad as he was, they were in position to win it because the other guy kept coughing it up, Michael Vick, and had a terrible game as well for the Eagles, just not terrible enough for the Browns to win that opener. But the would have and should have and throw things out, you know. I've heard coaches say this. I remember in reference to Jim Brown. I want to say it was Don Shula, and Don Shula said when he was playing. He said, yeah, our coach came in and said something to the effect of, you know, when Jim Brown had all these big carries, and he says, if you just throw out that one long 60 or 70-yard run, whatever it was, he goes, we had a good day against them. Yeah, well, you didn't stop him on that one.
Right.
All right, we've got much more coming up on CBD. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, 216-578-0850. We'll continue on with our divisional breakdown and preview for you. And tweet us at Browns_daily and ESPN 850 WKNR. To my father's eyes.